We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Mully and Haw, mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
You made out dollar bills with your face on it. Did I see that?
Dollars?
With your face on it?
They're hundreds. They're hundreds.
What's the, where's that?
And I told those guys, you know, I said, if you want me to sign, I'll sign it. And I said, don't spend it. Because, you know, it'll be, I think, probably 105 when I die. You know, things go up a little bit. So I think it'll be worth 105. What's that?
Where's the idea come from?
I don't know. I started a long time ago. You can't give out real money, so.
Player of the game, one guy, multiple guys, who gets it?
I just can't give you that secret, you know. Be telling too much, you know. It's kind of a deal that's just in our room. I don't know how that got out. You guys must see that money floating around, huh?
People are spending it.
It's technical.
Don't try to cash the Chuck Bucks. You're not going to get anything for them.
Isn't that a federal crime to doctor up?
Now you're going to get me arrested. It's not right.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That is the voice of defensive coordinator Chuck Pagano.
Yeah, Chuck
and,
Bucks.
And Chuck Bucks.
Oh, the irony.
He's stolen my my Mully money thing that I do around here. I give Kevin money for not swearing on the podcast. It's just a thing we do.
Do we?
Every time he doesn't
Mully
swear.
Mully Money Mondays?
On a podcast, I give him money. Yeah. A Mully, some Mully money that he can spend pretty much nowhere.
I think but he tried to buy lunch with that the other day.
He hasn't figured it out yet. Don't
so,
say anything.
That was yesterday at Hallis Hall. Chuck Pagano had
is a counterfeiter. That's what you're telling me.
Yeah, he's committing federal crimes. On
lock him up.
He's not the only one. A lot of that going around.
But it is ironic that this comes out and it's fun to talk about. They're playing the Saints that had their franchise altered in 2012 right. Because of, is this how it all started with
bounty
Greg Williams?
Gate. Yeah, there was a bounty put on,
At one point with Greg Williams laughing about the Greg Ooh. Bucks or whatever they called them down there, like, oh, I'll give you $400 for Favre. How about $500? No.
Yeah, that's
a stretch, and I'm not saying
and
that.
And this is just a silly, funny, fun, Chuck Buck rhymes type thing. Doesn't Charles Barkley give out Chuck Bucks to people?
But what might get you 500 Chuck Bucks? What do you think this weekend? What would be something that if it's on the ledger would get you 500 Chuck Bucks? Big hits?
Well, how about a defensive touchdown?
Okay.
An interception return.
That's probably worth
a touchdown. A pick six.
That's probably worth about 500 Chuck Bucks.
It might be worth six.
Are there big hits that are rewarded?
Why would you give HaHa Clinton Dix money after that game in Oakland? Do you take back Chuck Bucks? Do they have to give you some Chuck Bucks? How does that work?
I don't know how that works.
Oh, huh. I wonder how that works. Do they have an account? I know he has the actual dollars, but what do you do with them?
I don't know. I don't know how the discussion goes. And when he says it, it's all internal. It's all in-house.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. I wonder.
Greg Blosch. Do you remember Greg Blosch?
Oh, I do remember Greg
like
Blosch.
Blosch Bucks.
No.
No.
No, they were bullets.
He'd been better off with money.
It's like he would give a shell to someone if they did something. What? And they kind of became a little bit of a problem with the league.
Coaches always are going to use kind of little things to motivate their players. And, you know, this is harmless in terms of how they use it. But it just is funny to have this come to surface.
Yeah, that's it.
To be discussed. And
with the Saints coming.
The Saints are down.
Yeah.
The Saints come marching in, still scarred by the bounty gate of 2012. That was a long time ago, but try telling Sean Payton that. He's steaming.
Oh, he's still mad about it.
He lost a lot of steam in his career.
Well, they lost a lot of momentum as a franchise.
Yeah.
No question about that.
They did.
And
it's a franchise that comes into Chicago. There's a lot of parallels. Not parallels. I guess connections. A lot of connections with Ted Phillips, his son in the organization for the Saints, and Mickey Loomis's daughter, I believe, works for the Bears.
Sounds like it.
And there's a lot of connections there.
But there's no quid pro quo.
No. Ryan Pace used to work for the Saints.
He did.
He came from there. Yes. So we can blame them or credit them, however you want to look at it, after Sunday. But the challenge in front of Chuck Pagano is...
Ryan Pace, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, before the game he has to, just for tradition's sake, bring a cup of coffee to Sean Payton.
Just out of habit. Was that his job in New Orleans?
What else would it be?
Was he hired based on the way he fetched latte?
The rumor, the longstanding rumor, and again, I don't know if any of this is true, but the longstanding rumor, what people tell you when you talk to NFL people, is that Mickey Loomis was worried about Ryan Pace taking his job because Pace became very tight with Sean Payton. So he was kind of pushing Ryan Pace on Ted to get him out of New Orleans so he wouldn't lose his job to him because Payton and Pace were kind of thick as thieves.
And when you look back to 2015,
this is what people.
Oh, sure.
You.
I mean, Ryan Pace was a hot executive in the NFL. I mean, he was a guy that a lot of people wanted to hire. There were some other teams out there that were interviewing him at the time.
He was Mickey Loomis has other friends than Ted.
Mickey Loomis has been there a long time.
He's been there forever.
Was Hunter Biden ever a candidate for the job?
What a world we live in. Let's get to John. He's on the road. Good morning, John.
Hey, John.
Good morning, guys. You know, when we talked about the Raiders, they said the Raiders were going to beat the Raiders, this and that. And it scares me because the Saints game, we're playing a tough team. Mitch got to step it up. I mean, I'm just really frustrated as a Bears fan to see that we are not even near the team that we were last year. Guys, coming off of 2 weeks, I don't want to see Mitch on that podium saying, I didn't have enough time or this and that. It's time for Mitch to step it up.
Yeah, and John, don't you? Isn't that kind of what we're expecting to a certain extent? I think that that Mitch playing with the shoulder harness, you know, it's going to be he's going to go through a little difficulty to get on the field. He wants to play, and they want him back. It tells you the value that your quarterback has, and you know, the idea, the hope would be that he learned something from watching.
Well, you hope so. I don't buy that, but I think I you get you better by playing. But look. John, you're looking at this the whole exact wrong way. If you're a Bears fan...
You get better by playing, but when you're playing poorly and you can sit back and take a look at somebody else playing and then the guy was having confidence issues, David, whether we want to admit it or not. He didn't look like the same player.
Maybe.
Hopefully, he feels better and he's got a little bite to him.
But I think that you get better, you get more confident by succeeding, and I think that he needs
to succeed. He wasn't doing that.
But I think if you're a Bears fan, you look at this weekend not in a negative way. I don't think you look at it as, boy, look how much the Bears have disappointed me so far this year in five games. You look at it, okay, this is an opportunity. This is a huge opportunity for the Bears to beat a team at the top of the NFC to prove that some of these, all the lofty things that were said about this team in the offseason were valid, to show that going to London was a fluke. To disprove a lot of the things that have been said over the last 2 weeks about a team that struggled. I don't know if that's all going to come true. I think that the Saints have a defense that people, you know, are overlooking. It's very good. But I think you can look at this game in a positive way if you're a Bears fan and say, you can change your season and the direction, you know, by Sunday night and sit there at 4-2 and think, okay, good things are about to happen.
Yeah, I think... When you win the game, and I know you don't believe they're going to win the game, but I think that I really do think that Alvin Kamara being out is a huge deal for the Saints, and it's going to affect them. I also think the fact that they've been on the road 2 weeks on grass and not at home, I just think there's a lot, you know, I got to be honest with you, David, as much as anything else, I have this sense that Teddy Bridgewater is living on borrowed time, that he's fine. He's a good backup, but there's a reason he's a backup. And the idea that he's going to come in here and beat the Bears and beat that defense, I got a hard time with that.
You sure Kamara's out?
Yeah, I am.
I mean, he didn't practice yesterday. He hasn't practiced all week. He hasn't practiced all week.
It came out earlier in the week.
But something about the way that Sean Payton operates makes me wonder if this is actually what to expect.
It came out earlier in the week that he has a high ankle sprain. Mm-hmm. So if that's the case, then it would be silly to have him try to play. A high ankle sprain is a lot different. Now, again, there are varying degrees of sprain, but the idea that you're not going to use the guy at all, and then you're going to, you know, kind of, you haven't used him, you didn't use him, for, so you're going to give him 2 weeks off, and then just, here it is, give him the ball.
What does our Twitter doctor say?
I don't know. But
the guy was busy last night.
One of the great ironies is that when the Bears moved up to acquire Mitchell Trubisky, mm-hmm. they gave up, I think two-thirds and a fourth-round pick. And the third that year was the pick used.
Yes.
The Saints traded it. The 49ers traded it to the Saints, and the Saints used it on Alvin Kamara.
So hello, Alvin Kamara.
So like out of the Mitch trade, who's the best player that came out of it?
Well, it wouldn't.
Mitch is a quarterback, so obviously that's a little different. Yeah. But it's probably Alvin Kamara, right?
Without question.
I hate to say it, but that's the case.
I mean, he's definitely a guy that changes the direction of a game.
He's a real good player.
But they're still dangerous without him.
Yeah, they're dangerous without him, but it's still not as –
Look, everything you're saying about the Saints' offense is valid, and I think the Bears' defense is good, and they're going to be able to absorb the loss of Akeem Hicks.
Yeah.
Nothing that I'm projecting or think that could happen has anything to do with the Bears' defense. I don't trust the Bears' offense. I don't trust – fact that they can control the line of scrimmage, but they can lose one of their starting, stalwarts in Kyle Long and get better up front. Yep. I don't really think that they're going to commit to the running game because I just haven't seen it, and I think they have to.
Yeah, and I don't think they're going to either. And I think the difference maybe in the game is going to be that hopefully Mitchell Trubisky is never put at risk, and by that I simply mean that the way that Mitch plays and the things that you expect from him, when a quarterback is at risk, in other words, when a quarterback has to make a play, is what I'm talking mm-hmm. about by risk. If you're trailing and you have to come back and the quarterback has to make a play, that's where sacks come and that's where turnovers come. And Mitch has not been a turnover machine. And I know that that is damning with faint praise, but he has not turned the ball over a lot because he hasn't been in that position. I think the Bears defense is good enough. Now, if Mitch was on another defense, that's when we talk about what if Mitch had gone to Kansas City?
Different.
It would be a completely different world because he'd be expected to do a lot more than he's expected to do with the Bears.
Good point. But when I hear at risk, I think at risk, and the image in my head is Cam Jordan lining up over Bobby Massey. And that's at risk every single snap.
And that's
a game wrecker.
Yeah, okay, but that comes down to the coordinator getting rid of the ball in a hurry, running the football, doing things to keep him out of the game. And I, again, unless the Bears are trailing by a couple touchdowns and Mitch has to throw the ball and has to try to go downfield, that's when bad things happen, when you have to do things and you're just not capable of it.
So what you just said is why I want to see.
It's why they ran into problems in London.
It is why they ran into problems in London, and I'm waiting to see and hope to see why Matt Nagy put himself in the same company as a play caller as Sean Payton, because these are two guys who are thought of as innovative offensive minds in the NFL. And Matt Nagy has to scheme his way to a victory on Sunday, because if he doesn't, Cam Jordan's going to wreck your game plan.
I'm so frustrated because someone just texted in, and we've been hearing this all week, that Kamara is going to be like Anthony Rizzo and play with the sprained ankle. Oh, my God. Have you ever seen Alvin Kamara play? Have you ever seen Anthony Rizzo play?
Have you ever seen football?
Do you understand the difference between the two sports? Mother of God, stop with that.
I was not expecting an Anthony Rizzo reference this morning.
I wasn't either, but it's been going on all week. With this.
Respect him.
They're lying in the weeds, and they're waiting for the... all right. Nick Kostos is going to join us next. We're going to talk a little wagering, find out what Vegas thinks of this game. When we know it's 3 points and you get three for being at home, so maybe Vegas doesn't think as highly of the Bears as we do. We'll ask Nick. Mully and Haw on the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I want winners.
Mullyan Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. And on the line, we have Radio.com Sports Betting Insider and host of You Better You Bet, Nick Costos. Insider calls are brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Watch and listen to Nick weekly at 5 p.m. On radio.com app. Nick hosts You Better You Bet, a radio.com sports production. Nick, thanks for joining us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline, home of the real deal.
Morning, Nick.
What's going on, guys? Happy Football Friday to you and, of course, the great people of Chicago. Let's dole out some winners here, make some people some money on a football weekend. Looking forward to it.
Oh, we're very excited about that. Let's do it.
Great. You guys tell me, what are we looking at?
You want to Let's start with the NFL, but I want to know, you know, Vegas obviously thinks that this Bears game is, it's a 3-point line. You get 3 for being at home, basically. So they think this is a pretty evenly matched game. How much will Alvin Kamara not being there be a problem if indeed he's not there?
I think it's going to be a major problem for the Saints in this game. Latavius Murray is a decent running back, but he's certainly no Alvin Kamara. This game, I think, is very interesting, and the Bears right now are 3.5-point favorites. This despite the fact that the last time we saw Chicago, obviously you guys know this, they were getting trampled in London a couple weeks ago by the Oakland Raiders of all teams, while the Saints have done nothing but, like DJ Khaled says, win to Teddy Bridgewater replace Drew Brees. So I think a lot of people are going to look at this spread, and they're going to want to take the Saints here. The fact that the Bears are -3.5 kind of scares me off of the spread in this game, guys. I do think the Bears are going to be able to win this game, but I'm not going to lay 3.5 with the Bears. The bet that I do want to make in this game is under 38.5. I just don't see either team scoring a ton of points in this game. The Saints defense has been very impressive, and I think we're going to see a major, major bounce back from the Chicago defense. Of course, you know, I had an issue with Matt Nagy taking the Bears to London on Friday of that week, and then, of course, they just looked jet-lagged, and, I mean, they got abused by Oakland, and we don't see that happen often to this Bears defense. So big-time bounce-back effort from the Bears defense on Sunday. I don't see the Bears scoring a lot of points either. My preferred play in that game is under 38.5, and I do think the Bears will win the game.
Nick, what other NFL games look like a lock to you, and what did you think of the Patrick Mahomes news in terms of what that did to the Chiefs Super Bowl odds?
Yeah, I think obviously we need to wait to see what the MRI says about Patrick Mahomes, see how much time he's going to miss. Obviously, if it's only a couple weeks, I think the Chiefs are going to be fine. If he's going to be out for the season, then I think obviously we downgrade the Chiefs significantly. Maybe almost a trade for Nick Foles when Nick Foles comes off injured reserve and reuniting with Andy Reid, if that's the case. I mean, I'm spitballing, but it's kind of impossible to really say at this point. I can tell you this, though. Well, on You Better You Bet last night, I was on with Joe Ostrowski, one of your guys' coworkers at the Score, and we were kind of bandying about, you know, let's say Mahomes is out for an extended period of time or out for the season now, which team in the AFC now becomes like the second best team along with the Patriots, because we always presume it to be right to be the Patriots and the Chiefs. And I think we take a look at the winner of this Houston-Indianapolis game on Sunday, and this is one of my favorite games of the week that I said I really, really like. And I like the Colts guys laying a point at home over Deshaun Watson and the Texans, and I think this line is probably an overreaction to what we saw last week with the Texans and the Chiefs. And lest we forget, the last time we saw the Colts, they were on a bye last week. They were also hammering Kansas City at Arrowhead in that Sunday night game. Great game in that one by Marlon Mack. And I just think Frank Reich's a much better coach than Bill O'Brien. It's a short price here. So I like the Indianapolis Colts here. It's crazy to think that the Colts without Andrew Luck could, like, find themselves making a deep playoff run here with Jacoby Brissett. But you look at the AFC, and, like, aside from New England, there aren't really that many great teams. Like, does someone want to make a case for the Baltimore Ravens? I mean, that defense is absolute garbage still. I think there's a case to be made for the Buffalo Bills, as crazy as that sounds, if Josh Allen could give them, you know, semi-competent quarterback play with the defense being what it is. I think they're very well coached as well. So the AFC becomes wide open, of course, with the Patrick Mahomes injury. As far as some games this weekend, let's make some people in Chicago happy right now, guys. You know what team I absolutely hate this season? And I've got nothing against them, really. I'm a New Yorker, so it really doesn't mean anything to me. But they've really annoyed me this season with how lucky they've gotten in both covering the spread and winning football games. I want to see the Green Bay Packers lose as many games as possible right now. That's me being a salty bettor.
Nice.
I like the Oakland Raiders on Sunday to cover that spread at Lambeau and maybe even win the game here. So Green Bay down with MVS, Devontae Adams, Geronimo Allison, all not going to play in this game. Raiders coming off the bye. Short week for the Packers. Packers got gift-wrapped that game on Monday night. I like the Oakland Raiders guys getting the points in Lambeau, and I give the Raiders a
chance to win the game.
Wow.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I like all that. Are you a Yankee fan or a Mets fan?
Oh, I'm a Yankee fan. This has been an excruciating, but not unexpected, because since 2009, this is what the Yankees do in the playoffs. You know, they get there, they put a million guys on base, and then they don't score any runs. So this is, unfortunately, and I know it sounds like, you know, like I've seen a lot of five World Series in my lifetime that I'm whining here, and I shouldn't be, but I am, because I'm an entitled Yankee fan. So yeah, last night was tough, and I think they're going to get annihilated tonight.
Yeah,
dead team walking like the Cardinals were in Game 4.
So, Nick, is it your heart or your head giving people advice on Twitter to, quote, and I quote you, bet $1 billion on the Astros tomorrow night, tonight?
I think that's like the most logical and rational thing I think I've ever said, maybe aside from the billion-dollar part. In all sincerity, it was the same thing as the Cardinals-Nationals Game 4 was the easiest game to handicap ever. The Cardinals were dead team walking. And I actually gave them credit because they went down 7-0 and they came back, and that Carver direction came up as a go-ahead run in the top of the 8th. Of Game 4 of the NLCS. The Yankees are dead team walking. It is over. Verlander's pitching tonight on full rest. You think the Yankees are like Aaron Boone is playing with this lineup like he's a child playing house. You know what I used to do? I used to go to the bank my grandfather used to work at. Well, this was back in the day before there were video boards, and they actually put like interest rates on like a thing where you could like actually take the numbers off the board and put them somewhere else. And I used to screw with that board, and I used to get in trouble as a kid. That's basically Aaron Boone with this Yankees lineup. Yo-Yo and Gleyber Torres around in the lineup. Like, it's just ridiculous. A-Rod did a great job killing Aaron Boone last night. Cashman and Aaron Boone have got a lot of explaining to do, guys. This is a lost season for the Yankees. Go out and get a freaking ace. Like, I'm enough with this crap. Like, you're the New York Yankees. Go out and spend some damn money. It's ridiculous. They're going to get killed tonight. I wouldn't advocate betting the Yankees with anyone else's money tonight. No chance. Yankees dead team walking, unfortunately.
Wow. That's pretty good. That's a nice rant. What do you like in college?
College, how about I'll give a game tonight. I like Syracuse getting 3.5 at home against Pitt. And Joe O really loved it. And Joe O kind of talked into it, guys. Last night's edition, if you bet or you bet. He loves the under in the Ohio State-Northwestern game, both in the first half and the full game. I like the under for the full game at 50 points. I just don't think Northwestern's really going to be able to score. Other games I like in college football, how about a close-your-nose special? You got to pick a team that you probably don't want to bet on. But Florida State on the road at Wake Forest. This is kind of a game where the line doesn't really appear to make sense, given the Wake Forest has had a better season than Florida State. Wake was a 2-point favorite. I played Florida State getting 2. Florida State's now getting 1. I think Florida State will win that game. And kind of in a similar vein, Oklahoma State's a 3 or 3.5-point favorite at home against Baylor. Baylor's undefeated this year, but I think they're kind of fraudulent. And Oklahoma State, we saw it last year coming off the bye, really, you know, kicks things into high gear under Mike Dundy. I think the Pokes take care of business at home against the Baylor Bears. And in one of the big games, because I just gave you two not really big games, I'll take the points with Michigan tomorrow night in Happy Valley against Penn State, getting the 9. I still have some faith in, and maybe I'll regret that statement, but I still have some faith in Jim Harbaugh in Michigan, and I think that line's too big. And the Oregon-Washington game, if you can get 3 with Washington at home as a dog there, I would do it. When Oregon has a clear talent advantage over a team and they can dominate, and Mario Cristobal doesn't actually have to do math in his head and coach, I like Oregon, but Chris Peterson's a million times better coach than Mario Cristobal. And if that game's close down the stretch, Cristobal will find a way to screw it up. So I'll take the points from Washington.
Nick, always a joy. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks,
we
Nick.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate it, guys. Wishing you and all the listeners minimal sweats, winning bets, the absolute very best of luck, and go Yankees, even though it's a fait accompli, they will lose. Appreciate it.
Wow.
They won that freakish 103 games during the regular season. That was Radio.com Sports Betting Insider Nick Kostos. Insider Calls brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. And again, watch and listen to Nick weekly at 5 p.m. Chicago time on the Radio.com app. Nick hosts You Better You Bet, a Radio.com sports production. Thank you, Nick.
And if he talks too fast, you can rewind listen to what he says.
And maybe this bodes well for the Yankees. Today is the happy 42nd anniversary to the date Reggie Jackson hit 3 home runs against the Dodgers in the 1977 World Series. So there you go.
Wow.
Yankee tidbit for you. I know.
We have a texter suggesting that we bring Nick into the 5 at 5. And then we have time for 7 questions.
That's right.
Peter Gammons, MLB Network Analyst.
Around the pole and gone!
Taking you inside Major League Baseball with the Hall of Famer, Peter Gammons.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. It is always a joy to talk to Peter Gammons. He joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. Good morning, Peter. How are you?
Morning, Peter.
Good morning. It's
It certainly is interesting there in Chicago with the managerial search, but I applaud the open-mindedness of the Cubs here. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with getting a lot of ideas. One of the things that I've always thought was interesting is when they talk about interviews, when managers come in, prospective managers are brought in to interview, that it's, to me, it should always be a two-way interview, that the candidate should interview the general manager as well, or whoever's in the meeting. And for one thing, you can learn a lot about the organization. Is this really where you want to be? And secondly, I think that this, you can learn a lot from I think that the club can learn a lot about its own team from an outside vantage point. And so I think it's been interesting. I read that Joe's father was had a great interview. People I know absolutely think the world of this guy. So he's a very interesting candidate, and I think that his time in Houston has only made it even better.
So, Peter, we're looking at it this way. If the Cubs name a manager on Monday, it'll be David Ross. And if they don't, then we can assume that they're waiting for Joe Espada. Is that a fair way to look at this, or is that overstating where we are?
No, I think that's very logical. I really do. I mean, I think that, because it's unless something happens three straight days between the Yankees and Astros, Espada's still going to be working on Monday. Still going to be an employee of the Houston Astros on Monday. So and working. So, Joe was a candidate in a lot of different places. I know it came up very strong, highly recommended to the Mets, but the Mets are sort of I don't know. They're like an amusement park the way they do business. I mean, it's pretty hard to figure out exactly what they're doing. But I know his name had come up certainly in Philadelphia and a couple of other places. So he's a fascinating candidate.
Yeah, it's interesting because you say that it's you like the way they're doing it because obviously you're interviewing them, they're interviewing you, you're learning more about your organization and how it's perceived by other people. But by going through this process the way they have they found a better candidate than David Ross? Is that part of – were they looking for that? Or were they surprised to find it if indeed things went that well with Joe Espada?
I think they're just looking for outside views. And just they want to make sure that what they do is the right thing. And you know, what we don't know is still not sure, is David ready to spend 200-something days a year as a baseball manager? And, you know, it's a really tough job. It's so consuming, and you get to bed really late. You get up in the morning early because you haven't slept because of some pitching change that didn't work out. It's a real grind, and David has a pretty good gig right now, and I don't blame him for wondering a little bit about it. I know it was something that Aaron Boone went through a lot, very seriously, before he made the decision. Wasn't so much for Alex Cora because that's what he had always wanted to do. He really didn't enjoy being in Bristol, Connecticut for any period of time. But I think it helped him, as did, of course, the gig in Houston. But it's a tremendous commitment. And I think when you're the manager of the Cubs, the Yankees, the Mets, the Red Sox and the Phillies, you're really in, and the Dodgers, you're really in for it's a much harder gig than being the manager of the Kansas City Royals or the St. Louis Cardinals.
Peter, we haven't mentioned Joe Girardi yet, and on Wednesday he stepped down from his role as manager of USA Baseball with the assumption that he probably will get one of the jobs he's interviewing for. If not the Cubs, Also, there's the Phillies and the Mets. How confident are you that Joe Girardi will be managing a major league team next year?
I'm very confident. I think I mentioned on the show last week that, I mean, I make no bones about it. I'm prejudiced. I have so much respect for Joe Girardi personally and professionally. I mean, I really believe he'd be terrific in Philadelphia. I kind of see that's where he is. That's where I see him right now. Probably in 20 minutes, I'll find out. It's out the window. But that's where I kind of see them going. Buck Showalter has worked with Andy McPhail and a couple of the other people in the front office in Philadelphia. And Buck is very good, very good. And I don't see – I love Dusty Baker, but I don't see him fitting in that Philadelphia – not the city, but I think that the way that organization is, and it is so analytically driven – I don't think I see Dusty ending up managing that team. So I think Joe's going to end up in Philadelphia.
Am I wrong? I got to tell you, I've been looking forward to this Yankees and Houston series pretty much all season, and it seemed like they were going to mate, and it was just this head-on collision, and we were going to see this great Yankee offense and great pitching and great lineup in Houston, and it just hasn't delivered. I mean, it's great that the Yankees won a game, but my God, score a run. And I'm watching this game yesterday, and, you know, you get the bases loaded. You got to knock in some runs. And coming away with one run was a victory for Houston, and then they just get overloaded. Are the Yankees a disappointment here? Are we looking at this? Are we not appreciating Houston as much as we should, or are the Yankees just kind of letting us down?
Well, I mean, okay, Verlander, Cole, I get that. I thought last night in the first inning, I will admit this, I sat there and went, I mean, this is going to be like a 14-3 game for the Yankees. And they could talk all they want about the baseballs. We still saw, a line drive to right field go out of the ballpark the night before or two nights before. But I think it's a testament a little bit to how well the Astros game plan their pitching. But I also think that maybe there's more of a pressure. Sometimes when you play at home and there are a lot of expectations, there's more pressure than when you're on the road. And I really sensed that with the Yankees last night. Some of their at-bats and some of their pitching. I mean, I was stunned at the issues that Adam Ottavino, who is a really good pitcher, I was... And a New Yorker, I was a little bit stunned at how much he struggled in this series. And maybe it's just, okay, it's a 10-day period when they didn't play well. I mean, the last two times they lost consecutive games at home were to, I think it was the Tigers and, I'm trying to remember the other team. It was somebody who finished well below 500. Oh, no, the Tigers and the Orioles are the only other teams to beat the Yankees in consecutive games in Yankee Stadium this year. So they can get cold. Like a lot of home run hitting teams.
Peter, as we look at this weekend, if the Astros finish off the Yankees as people expect, the conversation will shift toward obviously the World Series with the Nationals and the Astros. And Justin Verlander talked about this, and other people will, about the value of letting starting pitchers go deeper into games and how that will sort of counter this trend toward the bullpenning and this whole idea of openers and this whole idea of what's going on throughout baseball. Is that a valid discussion? What do you think about that in terms of having a copycat effect if indeed the Astros and the Nationals are the two teams?
I was just writing about this yesterday, and I'm not sure when it gets posted, I guess today, but I think a lot of teams look at this. Okay, you can't replicate what the Astros and Nationals have very often. I mean, it's a lot of money, to say the least. The starting pitchers they're tough to give $30 million to. I mean, they break down. Look at the Red Sox. The Red Sox were basically like the Nationals, and then Chris Sale got hurt. David Price was hurt most of the season. Eovaldi was hurt most of the season, and they ended up with almost a 5-starter ERA. And that's, they're paying They paid $67 million to their four starters this year, and it didn't work out too well. And it's there were due if there would be $67 million next year with Porcello gone. And so I think, though, what is happening, and I think we've seen a little bit with the Cubs. We're seeing it with the Red Sox. We're seeing it with I think a lot of organizations are saying, wait a minute, how do we improve the development of our of pitching, particularly starting pitching? How do we scout it better? How do we develop it better? And in some ways, I almost go, well, how do we get more like Cleveland, who ends up paying very little for their starting pitching, and they have, you know, they're right up near the top of the league as the best, and their development is phenomenal. They had like four pitchers that they drafted within a 13-month period, all starting for them down the stretch. And so I think that we're starting to see a shift in how they develop pitchers. And, you know, people say to me, well, what about Tampa Bay? Tampa's trying really hard to do the same thing. Matter of fact, I look at that and the Shane Boz, who they also got in that Pittsburgh deal. I mean, you've got Glasnow and Snell and Boz and McKay. Brandon McKay, by the middle of next year, maybe solid six get you into the seventh inning starters. They don't want to do what they're doing. They're doing it by necessity, and it's worked for them because they also trade for draft and develop so many big arms that can pitch two innings. I mean, Diego Castillo and guys like that. But I think you're going to see a tremendous reevaluation of how pitching is developed in baseball over the next two or three years. And I think, you know, with Craig Breslow coming in and I think some of the changes the Cubs are making, it's going to be very interesting to see. I think that impact, though, is really strong. Not everybody, there aren't many teams that are going to be able to afford $300 million for Gerrit Cole. But at the same time, maybe they can develop guys who are at least second and third starters and can get them into a rested bullpen come October.
Hey, Peter, thanks a ton. Have a great weekend.
Have a good weekend, Peter.
You too. Thanks a lot.
That is, of course, Peter Gammons. You're listening to Mully and Haw. We're going to bring Tom Thayer into the conversation. Mully and Haw on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.